We've been talking, or I've been talking, for the last couple of weeks about generosity of heart from 3 John chapter 2. The desire is that you might be in health and that the Lord might prosper us even as our souls prosper. So I'm talking about the healthy soul, how to get healthy. And last week I had asked I felt like the Holy Spirit was asking us to surrender our heart to the Lord. So what's the next step? You know, like when you've surrendered your heart to the Lord, now what? You know? Well, for one thing, those empty hearts of ours, God wants to fill them with His presence, with His Spirit. Can I tell you a dog story? Now, you'll like this one. There is a little lost dog that Judy and I found yesterday while walking our dog. We're almost a half a mile from our house, and we look ahead and we see a car stop, and they're trying to catch a little dog. And this dog is like as cute as they come. I mean, think of a husky, but 35 pounds, you know, small husky, which sounds like an oxymoron, but a little tiny husky. There's an official name for it. I don't remember what it is. One of those. Yeah. And so the dog ran away from us, ran away from the car, and Judy and I went on down the road, came looping around. And when we come looping around, that little dog found my dog. Come running over. My dog did not like this little dog doing the customary butt sniffing. And so my dog sort of scrunched up his nose and her nose and said, "Stop that," you know. And while that was happening, I grabbed it. Had a little collar on. It was one of these training collars, but battery's dead, whatever, you know. And so we have no idea where this dog belongs, and we're trying to think what to do with it, and we're almost a half a mile from our house. So we did what you would do, is we carried the dog back to the house, put it in our pantry, called the police. The police came down and did mug shots of the dog. And got the chip scanner out, and guess what? You know, like, no chip, you know. So there's this little, homeless, beautiful little dog in our pantry, and we don't know what to do with it. So we put it online, we post it, you know. And the thing that was difficult is because of the collar and the fact that my dog uses a very short leash. She needs a short leash, just like me. And this is a little tiny dog. There's no way where to hook that short leash. But if I did hook it onto her, the dog would be lifted off the ground a little bit, you know. So I went to the store. I got a collar and got a leash. And I said, this dog's kind of whimpering like it wants to go home. Now, I just want to stop for a second and say, all of us in this place are running from home and lost when Jesus finds us. But the thing is, just like this little dog was so determined to get away from home that it jumped the fence, broke through the fence, broke away, got out the door. It was determined to go someplace else, where it would enjoy more freedom. But now he's confined in my pantry. And I think all of a sudden he's thinking, actually, I'd like to go home, you know? So I hooked the collar on and the leash, walked outside. Now, I've carried this dog the whole way. So its little feet did not touch the ground near our house. Backyard, dog circles around a little bit and circle, starts sniffing. We walk towards the street, and all of a sudden, the dog's pulling me. And I'm like, take me home, you know? And the little dog pulled the whole way. We walked blocks and blocks and blocks. And I'm like, this dog knows where it's going, you know? And as soon as we got to one particular house, it went up on the porch and right to the door. So I rang the doorbell because the dog couldn't do that. So I ring the doorbell. The people come out and they're like, oh, my gosh. And I didn't even hear what the name of the dog was. I still don't, you know, to me, it's just dog, you know. But they had lost this dog. This dog had broken out in the early morning hours and ran away. Now, when we found him, he was just actually across the street from their house, you know. So he was on a long journey, but he was not far from home. And I just got to thinking about that, and I really was determined to get this dog home because I felt like this dog wanted to be home. As nice as we are, he wanted to be home. And boy, when he got home, those other three dogs came to the door and welcomed him back with open paws. And the family was elated and excited. And I'm just thinking, you know, how many times do we want to break out, find more freedom, get out of Dodge, run as far as we can, but aren't we all just on a journey to find home again? Because something inside of us understands, as that dog did. I don't know how that dog knew where home was. It's like an internal GPS device said, home is that way, come with me, you know. And I feel like the Lord was just reminding me that even when we want more freedom and we want to get away from home, actually, home is where we belong. It's where we're happy. It's where we're accepted. And by that I mean, spiritually speaking, home is where we belong. And so this journey towards a healthy soul begins with God sending his son. And I want to read about that in John chapter 3. There's a sheet of paper near you. And there we go. This verse number 1 tells the beginning of this story. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, now I want you to just, like, Nicodemus is a ruler, a teacher of the Jews, and he is suddenly realizing that he's getting a scent, and it's like the way home. And somehow it's connected to Jesus, but he just can't quite figure it out. So this man came to Jesus by night because he didn't want to be embarrassed to come in broad daylight with his prestigious position to be approaching Jesus. Not a good idea. And he says to Jesus, Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And the question is, but who are you? You know? John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I know that everything inside of us wants to get laser locked in on the phrase born again, because this is the beginning point of relationship with God, or reconciliation with God, is being born again. I mean, this is the doorway. This is like Jesus is the door. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. And everything about this passage kicks off in our spirit the understanding that we need to be born again. And everybody in this room probably would agree with me that all mankind, needs to be born again. But we still miss the point. The point is that Jesus said, you, Nicodemus, have to be born again to even begin to see the kingdom of God. Now, Jewish ears would dial in on that. Our Gentile ears should hear it this way. Unless you're born again, you can't even see God. You can't feel Him. You can't discern Him. You can't know Him. You can't experience Him unless He, in His kindness, just comes and reveals Himself to us. You can't feel that. You can't fathom that. You can't discern that. And why is that? Because in Genesis chapter 1, God creates. Genesis chapter 2, He creates man. In Genesis 3, He goes even deeper, creates man and woman, Adam and Eve. And the two of them experienced the presence of God at least in the cool of the day. At the end of the day, when we're supposed to lift our hands and bless the Lord, at the end of the day, God would come and they would see Him. They would hear Him. They would experience Him. They would know Him. And He would communicate with them. He gave them assignments. He gave them the ability to co-develop, co-create, whatever you want to call it, with Him. Adam, here's the deal. I make the animals, but you name them. And as you begin to name them, how you name them is how they will relate to you. So, here's an animal. What are you going to call him, Adam? And Adam says, I'm calling that thing a dog. And he's going to be my best friend. You know, for in the animal kingdom, he's going to be right there with me, you know, and there's a purpose for him. What are you going to call that thing? A cow. I'm going to call that guy a cow. Why are you going to call him a cow? Because he's going to be a walking drinking fountain. You know, we're going to get milk from him. Okay. Or what are you going to call this thing? I have no idea. Let's just say porcuplatypus. I don't know. You know. I don't know what his purpose is, so let's just call him that, you know. Duckbill platypus, whatever, you know. So there is this co-creating thing that's going on. But the point is that God and man were interacting on the earth with each other. Now, God says, now there's a tree, knowledge of good and evil. If you eat from this tree, you will die. Serpent comes along with the very first biggest lie he's ever told to mankind. You will not surely die. And it's true that as soon as Adam and Eve ate from that tree, they didn't fall over dead. Their heart did not stop beating. And yet, they surely did die. What died? It's their spirit. Their spirit. The spirit of man, which should be the ability to discern the glory and the presence, the voice, the character of God, was cut off from them. And their spirit became unresponsive, and their eyes were opened to the removal of God's glory from themselves. And they looked at each other, and all they could see was each other's body. But before that, Adam could see Eve and know that she was bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. He could see the glory of God in her. Now he sees the glory has departed from her. The glory has departed from him. And they could only see each other physically. So I am going to say, for argument's sake, that we are a tripart being. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. Now the spirit is, in a very real way, intertwined with the soul. So I want you to, everyone, get in touch with at least your soul, if not your spirit, right now. Here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to ask you to remember the last time you had a heartache or disappointment or grief or some deeply disturbing emotion came over you. Now I'm going to say, imagine with me, we're going to go up here to the hospital. They're going to admit you. And you're going to say, look, my best friend died from an overdose. And my heart is broken. And I cannot stop the pain. So I'm going to ask you to put me to sleep, take me into surgery, and then remove from me the part that hurts. And you can't. Because a broken heart is not the same thing as clogged arteries or a heart attack or heart disease. That is our body. With our body, I am, through the five senses, able to discern the world I live in. I can see the wall. I can see some of you. I certainly can see the lights. I can hear the echo of my voice. I can taste the communion elements that we'll have in a few minutes. I can feel your hand when I pray for you. I can feel, I can hear, I can see, I can smell. We could have some fun with that. I don't have time. But, you know, with my senses, I'm able to discern the world that I live in. But with my soul, I am able to discern you. Now, I can see you, but I can discern you. You can say something to me, and I would feel happy. You could say something to me, and I could feel very sad. Judy and I fell in love a long time ago. I didn't get really any credit. I said this last week, and she wasn't around, so I'm going to say it again so I get a little credit for this, you know. Judy and I, the secret to marriage, I mean, 45 years of marriage is significant, you know, is falling in love. And not just falling in love and making marriage vows and commitments, but it's falling in love again and again and again. I mean, that's how you do the journey. is you have to just wake up again and say, God, I love that woman. Thank you for this amazing gift that was given to me. Now I expect she's going to appreciate that. And she will cook me some fine food or something, you know. But the point is that we can discern each other's soul, because I can look at Judy and I see more than a moderately aging woman. I don't know what you're laughing about. I'm not laughing. I was just... We can discern each other through our soul. But it's through the Spirit that we discern the realm where God lives, the spirit realm. Which, by the way, the spirit and the physical realm overlapped in the garden. God was there. But when he put them out of the garden, now we read in the book of Genesis that men began to seek for God. The Apostle Paul says in Acts 17 that men began to grope for him as if to try to find him somewhere. But I just want to make this point, and that is that we started out with communion with God on the earth, face-to-face communion. Maybe we could argue, theologians might say, now you can't see his face. Well, let's just say this, they could see the glory of God and know that he was there as opposed to here. Maybe not seeing God's face. Are we tracking together? Body, soul, and spirit. Now this is not Platonic. This is not Plato. This is not Greek. But I will say this: in all fairness, the Jewish world, in the times of the scriptures, they only thought of themselves as being, they were a soul. This man, he's a lost soul, or he's a righteous soul, or he's a wicked soul. So they just recognized man as a whole. And maybe that's simpler and a lot easier, but when Jesus came along and he starts talking to Nicodemus, he's putting his finger on the pain. He's putting his finger right where it hurts. And he's saying to Nicodemus, this isn't about what I can do on the earth. And you're confused by that? No, this, let me tell you, this is about having a spirit that is awakened to God. So Adam and Eve and all their descendants, including us today, are born into the world spiritually dead. And only the Spirit of God can resurrect our dead spirit, and we become discerning of God. And able to hear God and to perceive him and to begin to understand and to communicate with him. So what happened was that we just celebrated Christmas, and I swear to you, we talk about this stuff. It goes over our head. We say, you know, that the angel Gabriel came and said that the holy thing that was be born of her would be the Spirit of God. He would overshadow her. And there would be a conception inside her womb, meaning nothing entered from outside of her womb like normally would happen. There was a conception from the Spirit of God into Mary, in which Jesus was formed, begotten. He was begotten of God by the Spirit. So Jesus had a spirit that was awake to God from his conception. But you and I must be born again to receive his spirit. So, here's my whole point, is that when he's talking to Nicodemus, He's saying something very deep and profound. And it's not about proving to Nicodemus that Jesus is the Messiah. Read with me again. In John 3:3, Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, unless their spirit is quickened by the Holy Spirit, unless their spirit is awakened, he cannot see God or the kingdom of God or any such thing." Now, Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" This is like harder to believe than the incarnation in Mary. I mean, I can believe the Holy Spirit coming upon her, and from the Spirit of God, the spermata of God came into Mary's womb. So she provided, 23 chromosomes. The spermata of God provided 23 God chromosomes. I don't know. But, he was born by the Spirit. He was not born of the flesh. So now there is a new Adam who can give to us new life. What is that new life? That new life is the quickening of the Holy Spirit, awakening my spirit. I can now discern God. I can now hear him. I can now perceive him. I can now know him. And yes, it's by faith. And yes, it involves the scriptures. But the scriptures actually just verify my experience. Amen? Yes, that's really good, Pastor Rich. All right, here we go. John 5, 3, 5. Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit." He's talking about the waters of repentance, like John the Baptist, and the Spirit that awakens the human spirit. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh." So, when 42 years ago, when Judy went to hospital, and David was born, they gave us David, a baby, and trust me, he was human. Still is. He's all, he was all boy. And we love him. "That which is born of this flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit," or spiritual. "Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell." He's using the language that our physical bodies would be used to. It's like we see the wind blowing trees. We hear the sound of wind blowing. But you can't discern the wind with your eyes unless something is in it. Okay, so that's the point. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak." Okay, so Jesus could see the Father and what he was doing. Jesus could hear the Father and what he was saying. Jesus, his spirit was awakened and alive towards God. And that's the spirit he wants to share with you and me. That's the spirit that brings our, what died in the garden is resurrected when we're born again. So I'm comfortable with the phrase born again, but it's deeper than you think. Okay, and I'll tell you why. Let me just read some more. "If I have told you," verse 12, "earthly things, and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things?" It's like, okay, what I want to say to you is, Nicodemus, there is an angel standing at your left shoulder. But you wouldn't believe that. You know why? Because you can't see it. So because you can't see it, you don't think it exists. But I can tell you, I see the angel of the Lord standing here. He's communicating, and I'm being spoon-fed words here, folks. I'm telling you words that he's saying. This is what's going on. All right. Then he gets very specific. No one the beautiful Jewish culture and the whole temple sacrificial system, the beauty and the glory of it, which was given by God through Moses, is now being shaken. It's the foundation of it is about to fall. It's going to be surpassed by something greater, a greater covenant, a greater sacrifice, a greater priesthood, greater promises. In every way, this is Hebrews, it's better. Okay, but Moses, with all of his revelations on the mountaintop, you know, he didn't ascend into heaven to get revelation and bring it down. And Jesus is saying, I came from heaven with this revelation to tell you, you must be born again. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down. That is the Son of Man who is in heaven. Oh, he's standing right there. He's in heaven. I'm in heaven. He's in the spirit realm, even as he's talking. And as Moses lifted up the serpent, oh, this is so rich. You know, the bronze serpent. I don't have time. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, and there was healing, right? Even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. This is speaking of the cross. That whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So, he is talking about the spirit of man needing a resurrection, which was not possible until after Jesus died. It was not possible until after Jesus resurrected. And in one sense, it was not possible until he ascended to the right hand of the Father. But in a very short period of time, it was possible to be born again. I'm just thinking out loud. I could be so wrong in this. Mary Magdalene might have been the first one born again. Peter may have been born again on the banks of the Sea of Galilee, you know, when Jesus... I'm not sure how that all worked. But what I am sure of is that the next step, and this is why... I really want to say it, and I'm just going to be honest with you. Starting with, this all happened the same week that Hamas attacked the Jewish settlers in the southern part of Gaza. Southern part of Jerusalem, northern part of Gaza. That same week, like, I don't know if you noticed, but like men and women of God in ministries and churches started falling like dominoes. Boom, boom, boom. And you just, one after the other, after the other. And some of us have conjectured and said, is this God cleaning house, you know? Is he dealing with the church? Maybe. Is this the devil just attacking good men and women? Whew, that happens. By the way, I'm just going to tell you that if you've never had spiritual warfare, just step out in response to the Lord and follow the call of God, and you'll experience spiritual warfare. I can tell you. I can tell you. But is it spiritual warfare or is it God? Maybe a little bit of A and B. I don't know. But this I'm certain of. And that is that a person can be born again. A person can have their spirit awakened to God. A person can even have spiritual giftings and rise to the top of notoriety, of fame, and of ministries like meteors, really, really quick, and have souls that are badly broken and not healed. My concern isn't, I feel for every one of them and their families who've fallen that I've been aware of, and I don't know the half of it. But that's not my point. My point is this, that we can be born again and spiritually awakened and alert towards God and leading people to Jesus Christ and have broken souls that need healed, that need discipled, that need counseled, that sometimes need deliverance. Or my favorite fix of all is that the Spirit of God that brought us to life, that is joined to our spirit, spills over into the soul and fills the soul with the presence of God and the glory of Jesus. What comes out the mouth, speaking in tongues, singing in tongues, prophecies, etc., you know. In other words, born of the Spirit is one thing. Filled with the Spirit is another thing. And being filled with the Spirit, we begin to prosper in our souls. And I'm just going to suggest that not just ministers, ministers and ministries, but more importantly, just men and women of God need to understand that being born again is not the same thing as being filled with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God can begin healing and shifting. I don't have the time to go through it right now, but in the book of Proverbs, there's so many verses that refer to how that the heart or the soul of man is like deep waters, and a man or a woman of understanding can draw the deep waters out of the person. But then it also talks about how that God can stir the waters and heal the waters and cleanse the waters. And I used to spend so much time defending the Pentecostal, charismatic, spirit-filled movement because I was a person with an experience that I didn't really have language for. Because, let's just face it, praying in tongues goes right past your brains. It's a response to the Spirit. I can't tell you what I'm saying, you know. But I used to spend so much time. And then I would say to people, you know, like, it's amazing because people love Spirit-filled worship and Spirit-filled services and activities and all that goes along with it. And I am like, sign me up for it all. But I'm here to tell you today, I am more determined than ever that every believer has a birthright to be filled with the Spirit, because it's the normal Christian life. It's normal Christian. It's not spectacular. It's not like extraordinary. It's not extraordinary. It's the normal Christian life. And I love the picture of the veil being torn in two when Jesus died, and whatever of God was there, who knows? But a few days later, the Spirit of God moved from the temple, and it settled on 120 people in an upper room across town. The Spirit of God departed from the temple, went over there, and fell on people who had been born again recently, who were waiting for the promise of the Father. And they became the temple of God. And the glory of God dwelt in them. Brothers and sisters, it is your birthright to be filled with the Spirit as well as born of the Spirit. And trust me, the baptism in the Holy Spirit has done more for me in the region and the area of my soul than it has done in the region of my ministry. That may not be everybody's experience, but my experience has been times in the presence of God and the filling of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit has shifted things that need shifted, has healed things that needed healed, has corrected things that needed corrected, has shaped things that needed shaped, has restored things that needed restored. So, last week, surrender the heart. This week, let God fill that surrendered heart with His Spirit. Amen? Yeah. This is good. It's good for us. Now, I do want to point out one thing, and that is that unfortunately, because we have wanted to know for certain that we were filled with the Holy Spirit, we spent a lot of time talking about the evidence of speaking in tongues, which I believe in. But I got to tell you, it's hurt us. It really has damaged a lot of relationships. So you get people who's like, I just want to hear you say something in tongues. Then I know you're filled with the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you, that's just sad. Filled with the Spirit is full of the Spirit. Full of the Spirit is where the joy and the prosperity and the healing comes from. Not just a dribble. Filled. Fullness. The thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life, and that more abundantly. So, I want you to stand with me, because we're going to move into communion. But before we do, I want to pray for you. And if, A, you want to be filled with the Spirit, then just tell the Lord that. B, if you're not sure if you're filled with the Spirit, God wants you to know that you are. But probably even more importantly, those of us who have had Spirit infillings need to keep having them. We leak, we expend, to be filled and refilled. So, you know, like how? How do I get filled? Well, first of all, I want you to know that it is a promise of God. We don't have the time to go into all that right now. But the second thing I want you to know is that God wants to fill you more than you want to be filled. Trust me. Trust me. And the third thing is that there's this beautiful verse. It says, if you, being evil, fallen, human, know how to give good gifts to your children at Christmas and on their birthdays. I added that part. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? If you ever wanted to give a good gift to somebody, if you knew the person and you knew the gift and you knew it's perfect, it's just going to like make them light up. If you ever knew that and you ever experienced that, then I want you to know that God is that on steroids, like what He wants to do inside of you and me. It's all about a healthy soul. Father, I thank you so much for my own healing, for my own experience. I thank you for the day that faith was born in me. Thank you for the time when I was born again. Thank you for the day I was filled with the Spirit. But the only thing I can say right now, Lord, is I thank you for what you're going to do for my brothers and my sisters from this day. You're going to fill us and refill us and overfill us again and again. That promise. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. Whoever drinks from me, rivers of living water will flow out of them. Father, I thank you. My brothers and sisters are born again, but we need to be filled with the Spirit again, again and again, falling in love with Jesus again and again, over and over again. So we lift our hands and we bless your name. And Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that everyone who's asking to be filled with the Holy Spirit would experience that right now, right here, this day, this afternoon, this evening, tomorrow, soon. Father, I pray that there would be a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit come upon your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Before I say amen, use your mouth. Tell him, Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen.